Listening to WRCE 1450 AM, W299 CD, Richland Center.
Center at 8 o'clock.
I'm Sherry Preston. The special counsel's office investigating Hunter Biden, charging FBI informant Alexander Smirnov with making false statements to officials and obstruction of justice. ABC's Pierre Thomas with more.
The alleged lies concern whether Biden was bribed by officials with Ukrainian energy giant Burisma. Sources telling ABC News that Smirnov is the confidential informant that House Republicans have cited repeatedly against President Biden. But the FBI recently confronted Smirnov about his claims, and the special counsel flatly says his stories fell apart, an amalgam of otherwise unremarkable business meetings.
Today, President Biden will travel to East Palestine, Ohio, scene of a massive train derailment and hazardous materials release last year. Alexei Navalny, a giant in Russia's anti-Putin movement, has died. Russian prison officials claiming he collapsed after a morning walk at the penal colony in Siberia, where he was serving a 19-year prison sentence. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin is taking steps toward cracking down on sex trafficking. The state assembly yesterday passed a package of bills that came out of the speaker's task force on the problem, Republican Representative Rick Gundrum.
One of the reasons sex trafficking is thriving here in Wisconsin is because our current penalties are often less than the cost of the actual solicitation.
The task force was formed after the human rights group Shared Hope International gave Wisconsin a failing grade for its anti-trafficking laws. A new push to legalize medical marijuana in Wisconsin is going nowhere this year. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss tells reporters a Republican bill will not be taken up this session. Republicans disagree among themselves over whether the state should run medical marijuana dispensaries. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
News from the Center, WRCE. I'm Jimmy Cuska. A woman was seriously hurt after falling out of a UTV Wednesday night in Richland County. The sheriff's office said a 35-year-old Wisconsin Dells woman was found on County Highway V near Cazenovia and flown to UW Hospital in Madison with life-threatening injuries. The driver of the UTV, a 25-year-old Cazenovia man, was arrested for operating while intoxicated, causing injury. The DNR is helping the sheriff's office with the investigation. Congressman Derek Van Orden introduced a bill that would lower the costs of higher education for members of the military that are serving out of their home states. The bill would require colleges and universities to charge in-state tuition for veterans and members of the reserves. Van Orden said that the bill will help provide new career choices and additional educational opportunities. It'll feel more seasonable the next couple of days with highs in the upper 20s and lower 30s, but a warm-up is on the way. Highs could reach the 50-degree mark by Tuesday. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Hi, my name is Maggie Dawn. You may have already heard that my 6 p.m. show is moving to 2 to 4 p.m. on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Todd Allball, still taking care of middays from noon till 2.
Todd, what are you doing?
I'm Dom, and Crudy and I are still kicking it from 4 to 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Network.
Dom, this is supposed to be about my show. I don't see why any of you guys...
We just want to be sure folks know precisely where to find you.
Right before the greatest radio show ever.
Until now, Crute.
Maggie Dawn, coming to your local station on the Civic Media Network.
2 to 4 p.m.
Right after me.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Badgers back in action. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team travels to Iowa to take on the Hawkeyes tomorrow. The Badgers trying to snap a four-game losing streak. Head coach Greg Gard told his players.
They know I point to the scoreboard a lot and said, don't watch the scoreboard. Guys, this possession done wrong like this against a better team is going to burn you.
NBA, the Bucks lost to the banged-up Grizzlies in Memphis. The final 113-100 in favor of the Grizzlies. After the game, Doc Rivers says his team looked lost or already on the beach in Cabo San Lucas.
First play, we gamble for the 50th time in the corner. Guy drives. We have to help, leads to a three. We come back on our set. Two guys forget what we're running. Then we miss the shot, and then nobody gets back. That's how we start out the third quarter. That tells you all you need to know about where our heads were. We had some guys here, and we had some guys in Cabo.
That's Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Oh.
A mix of clouds and sunshine today, and it will be a little cooler than yesterday. Our high right around 29 this afternoon, with wind out of the northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear. We'll drop down to 12 for an overnight low. Tomorrow, sunshine 28. On Sunday, sunny and warmer with a high near 39. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 23.
Hi, my name is Maggie Dawn. You may have already heard that my 6 p.m. show is moving to 2 to 4 p.m. on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Tom Alba, still taking care of middays from noon till 2.
Todd, what are you doing?
I'm Dom, and Crudy and I are still kicking it from 4 to 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Network.
Dom, this is supposed to be about my show. I don't see why any of you guys...
We just want to be sure folks know precisely where to find you.
Right before the greatest radio show ever.
Until now,
Crute.
Maggie Dawn, coming to your local station on the Civic Media Network.
2 to 4 p.m.
Right after me.
Oh, for crying out loud.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Man. Stop.
Good morning and welcome to a Friday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Earl. How are you?
Yeah, well, you know, what, 27 degrees, 26 degrees?
Yeah, well, like you said yesterday, it's the middle of February.
Man, yeah, and it's not so bad, man. There's snow and ice is going.
Well, that's the high today, isn't it? 27 or 28?
Yeah. Well, we can take that for one day, man. Or 2 days. It's going to be a little cool on tomorrow.
It is officially still winter.
Yeah. Well, yeah. When does that end?
March.
March.
21st.
Oh, in like a lion, out like a lamb. Is that the way?
That's what the beginning of March tells you, right?
Oh, yeah. That's it. I forgot about all those things.
Yeah, man. Yeah. This is all, it doesn't matter because none of it's true.
Right. Well, let me introduce my guest. It's Friday. That means my co-host Sandy Williams is back in the abode.
Yeah, either a guest or a host.
let me ask you, Sandy, we were talking about the weather. You're a scientific kind of guy. You a believer in the Farmer's Almanac?
Well, I believe there's a book called The Farmer's Almanac, so I do believe in that. But I don't think, I think The Farmer's Almanac has always attempted to predict things that are well beyond the bounds of scientific prediction. So, but I think it probably has been the recipient of a good deal of beneficial coincidence.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that, you know, people read it and look backwards, and sometimes they find things it did predict, and so, okay.
Is it kind of like the guy who says his
Notre Dame? Isn't that the guy?
Yeah,
that,
Notre Dame. So yeah. Is it kind of like the guy who says his bunion is starting to act up, and so he knows we got a heavy snow coming?
Well, you know, but there might be some truth to the whole arthritic reaction thing, atmospheric pressure and stuff. Yeah. Because, you know, now the weather forecasts do include a provision that relates to arthritis.
I got to put this to Calvin. Calvin, do you think we should move on from this conversation?
I do. I vote yes.
I don't know. I think it's kind of funny.
Right. So Sandy, I've got on my Milwaukee Buck hat. I think I should turn it around.
Yeah, the Bucks, it's...
What happened to our beloved Bucks, man?
I don't know. You know, I think the chemistry has. I think losing Dre Holiday and bringing in Lillard was a great potential adventure. But I think something happened to the chemistry in the process, and then a new coach, and then another new coach. Be honest with you, I think the new coach Rivers, I think, is going to have them headed in the right direction, because I think the chemistry problems they had relates to a lack of cohesion and team effort. I think they became fragmented into players rather than being melded into a team.
Well, I think a lot of us who loved the Bucks and wanted to see them, you know, reached the pinnacle again, fail to understand that chemistry comes over time.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I think chemistry in basketball is particularly important, too, because ball movement and trust and effort all relate to, I think, pure feelings about your teammates. I just have a sense that that has to be regained now, right now.
Well, but that comes with familiarity. Mm-hmm. And the only way, I can't believe I said it right, familiarity.
Yeah.
And they have a bunch of guys who still aren't familiar. When you're playing against teams that have played together now for 2-3 years, the Bucks were that with Budenholzer. They were the nucleus of their team had been together. And now they when they made the trade for Lillard and Beasley and they brought other pieces in, they took away all of that. And then different coaches. And I don't care how good the players are, you see individually, Giannis and Lillard are in their positions. They're two of the best of their positions in the entire NBA. But playing together, mm-hmm. you know, that's a both guys can't have the ball. There's only one ball, right? Both of those guys need the ball. There's only one ball.
Well, I think it has to do. Yeah, I just think the style of play in the NBA has become increasingly like the style of play of the Denver Nuggets. Fast ball movement, team play. I'm seeing flashes of that with the Bucks now, more so than actually in the past. I think they were thriving on a different kind of basketball, and I think the reason they didn't do well in the last two playoffs was the fact that basketball is passing them up in terms of style. The teams that are really thriving are athletic, fast ball movement teams, getting the ball in the right place at the right time. That overwhelms defenses, and obviously this year our defense has been a problem getting overwhelmed.
Well, you know, Sandy, Tony on the text line says Doc said last night some players were there, others were in Cabo. In other words, already checked out for the All-Star break. I can kind of understand. I mean, I used to play the game, and I think I understand the game pretty well. And, you know, they want to get out and they want to break there mentally. Doc has come in. He's put in a new way of playing that requires them to think more. Doc wants them to be a defense-oriented team. They've been an offense-oriented team. Out of his own mouth, I heard him say he wants them to be defense first. Well, you got some guys there who have never had to be defense first. And now all of a sudden they've been offense first. Mm-hmm. And that's more than a notion, Sandy, to get these guys all their careers who've been scorers to now become a defense first guy.
Well, I think, to be honest with you, I think they'll accomplish it, but I think the league is getting better every year. And so I think I think the Bucks will have to be better than they were when they won the championship in order to win the championship again. That's going to be a little bit hard because their team is old.
Yeah.
You know, they've stuck with what they've had, and they're all great. I mean, God, I love Brook Lopez, but, you know, he's an old guy.
Yeah.
I think they have, if not the oldest, one of the oldest rosters in the league. And so they've done that because it's now for Giannis. And they've tried to wrap around Giannis the people that can have the greatest likelihood of winning a championship. But that means you're not gonna find some explosive new capacity because you're hiring tried and true people, right? You're bringing in tried and true veterans. You're gonna get the best out of them, but you already know what the best for them is. And it isn't a unlimited potential like it is for some
of the
younger players.
For heaven's sake, Sandy, are you discriminating and saying that basketball is a young guy's sport?
Yeah.
I can tell you, I was at the Y last night, right? And I remember I used to be able to dunk a basketball.
Yeah, you hope you didn't try.
I can't even touch the bottom of the net.
Yeah, I know.
And
jumping is... Jumping is a lost art.
And I used to be able to shoot the three. I used to be like Damian Lillard. I mean, from the perspective of I could shoot from that far out.
Yeah, it's hard to get it there now, isn't it?
I can't even make a layup anymore. So, yeah, I think age has a lot to do with it, Sandy. And the Bucks have made a decision. You don't turn that around overnight. That's going to take some time. Doc Rivers, and this is what I guess I want people out of all the conversation we're having. Write this year off.
No, I don't think so.
Well, let me tell you, the Buck, he's not going to fix it in the last
If you write this year off, Horst is going to have to think about
Blowing up the team.
Blowing up the team, including Antetokounmpo, and starting over, because as long as you have Antetokounmpo and Lillard on the team, you've got big expense and you've got a trajectory you can't really horse around with. You don't have draft choices.
They don't. Antetokounmpo and Lillard played last night against a team that was 16 and 30 some odd, you know, and they had three or four 10-day guys and they lost. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
that's how far the mighty have fallen. Right?
Well, I refuse to get pessimistic. I only want to be realistic about this. I think they have a long ways to go. I think they do have a tremendously good roster. And I think when they're playing their best and moving the ball, I think they're just about unbeatable. But.
But Sandy, they don't do that every night.
Yeah.
Problem is, yep, when they're on their game, they can beat anybody. When they're not on their game, they can lose to a team with three 10-day contracts. I've never seen that before.
Well, I know. And I think one thing Doc Rivers is trying to do is wean them from the three-point shot as much, because the three-point shot can come and go in various games. And I think that's why he's focusing on defense. And I we shouldn't get into the miscellany here, but I have hope.
Well, Sandy, I watched some of the game last night. It put me to sleep. I needed to get to sleep. But after halftime, they put me to sleep. Hmm. They were still jacking up threes. And he can't change that. He doesn't have enough time to change it because they're playing every other night. But anyway, we're going to talk about some other things. No, it's not just the Bucks. We got a lot of things to talk about. It's Friday, and Friday with my co-host, Sandy Williams, 844-967-2789 is the number.
From the center, WRCE.
Wisconsin voters, listen up for important information about a recent decision from the Wisconsin Supreme Court. The court has ruled that Wisconsin's current state legislative maps are unconstitutional. While Wisconsin is closely divided between Democrats, Republicans, and Independents, these Republican-drawn maps have allowed them to keep big majorities in the state legislature, even when more people voted for the other party. Republicans have used these rigged maps to stay in power and serve their special interest friends while being unaccountable to Wisconsin voters, undermining progress on important issues that Wisconsin really cares about, like rising costs, gun violence, and abortion access. Now, the Wisconsin Supreme Court has ordered that new maps be drawn to protect our freedoms and make sure our voices are heard. Visit abetterwisconsin.org/fairmaps to tell the Wisconsin Supreme Court thank you for standing up for fair maps. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. I mean, it's Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. So Sandy, the Wisconsin GOP undoes legislative gerrymander after court pressure. They undo legislative gerrymander. If they're undoing something, it means something occurred, right?
Well, yeah. And, you know, what's interesting is, though, here we've got a situation in which the Supreme Court has said, hey, if you guys can't get this right, we'll do it, okay? And they've clearly, and they made a, and the ruling was a clear recognition and decision that there had been unlawful gerrymandering in the prior maps. And so the Republicans have apparently now looked at the maps that were put together by Evers at a time when he was trying to work on a compromise and said, oh, we'll take that. Well, we want that. We don't want to go into another process because, you know what, I think the Republicans have the greatest fear that sauce for the goose could be sauce for the gander, you know, that what they did could be done to them. And that's their biggest fear. Like, you know, if we hand the keys to the Democrats and let them do this, and the Democrats, some of them are actually saying, well, you know what? It's our turn. We're going to do, it is sauce for the goose and sauce for the gander. And to me, what this tells me is, number one, it points out the extreme importance politically of the notion of gerrymandering, how much of an advantage can be gained by this process of partisan map drawing and how wrong it is. So to me, what this tells me is if Wisconsin really wanted to take a leadership role, we would move in the direction of a nonpartisan mapping process for our districting, and we would get on with a fair democratic process, because what's happening now is just proof of how far out gerrymandered we were with the Republican maps. And because of their great fear, it's clear how much they fear the notion of what could be done to them if the Democrats turned around and poured the same sauce on the goose.
You know, Sandy, you and I remember, as many others in this listening audience remember, when our state was one of the top-ranking states for clean government.
Yeah.
And it didn't include gerrymandering at that juncture. We remember and know when these maps became gerrymandered. And we know, it was when Scott Walker was the governor. And the fact that he had a bunch of compadres with him.
Well, gerrymandering has always been known about, right? And during the Jim Crow days, it was clearly done in the South to accomplish what was meant to be accomplished on a racial basis. I was involved with the districting and redistricting of the state of Wisconsin in 1971 when I was working for the governor. I was on a small committee of people who worked on redrawing the maps. I understand the process, and I understand how much difference you can make with that process. At the time, it was bipartisan, and the process was worked out in a bipartisan committee, which was then presented to the legislature, and it was not possible to get too far out one way or the other. But it was clear how much impact we could have, because I can remember the discussions about protecting incumbencies, okay? And a large part of map drawing has always been focused on protecting the incumbents who are now going to be asked to vote on the map.
Let me ask you, Sandy, about the fact that what this could lead to is clearly some Republicans in districts who have been safe in their districts being gerrymandered. Well, not gerrymandered.
The redistricting is definitely going to put some seats in jeopardy. Exactly.
And so those people who have been in those particular seats and you would think that what they were doing was benefiting their constituents or the people in where they were. I'm wondering how much of the things that they were doing actually helped their constituents, where they were, because if all things being equal, it would mean that now they can't offer those things to their constituents. How much of that was really impactful to the people in their district?
Well, I think what's happened, what's been realized is that gerrymandering, the extent it creates extremely safe and predictable districts, does a couple of things. It discourages voters because their vote isn't going to make any difference, number one. And number two, it puts the political elected officials further out of touch with the people that they represent, because they can do pretty much what they want and still get reelected. The power of incumbency is great, okay? To the extent that incumbency becomes a very powerful force, then the extent to which an elected official will be responsive to their constituency goes down. And we can get to another subject about this.
We absolutely are going to be getting to that, and you were reading. You stole my thunder.
No, I just said there was a segue here, and now let's do the segue.
Yeah, so we're talking about medical marijuana.
Yeah.
And when we talk about redistricting and all of these kinds of things, the fact that medical marijuana has not passed in this state is just unconscionable, unfathomable, that in the state of Wisconsin— we have people who say we're not going to pass a medical marijuana bill, which helps people who have cancer, who helps people with all sorts of other maladies.
Sure. I mean, controlled substances can be prescribed, right? But you can't prescribe marijuana. That's goofy, number one. Number two, the fact that we've had at least one, maybe two polls that have been taken, official polls taken of the people of the state of Wisconsin about how they feel about legalizing marijuana. And it's a substantial majority. I mean, a very, very substantial majority of Wisconsin voters want marijuana to be legalized.
Mean Republicans?
Yes, of course. I mean, you don't think, I mean, no, they don't, they don't inhale. But no, I mean, the fact is, all you have to do is understand how many people are crossing the border and bringing back legally acquired but illegally transported marijuana back into the state for use. And I'm confident that that's a bipartisan audience, okay, that's doing that. And the fact is, however, that the distance between the elected official and the constituents is such that we can have this hypocritical, this hypocrisy, this sanctimonious hypocrisy that we have in the state of turning down medical marijuana, because I guess the word marijuana is involved, and somehow it's the sanctimony requires that they not pass it.
844-967-2789. It's Friday, means Fridays, with my co-host Sandy Williams. Up next, news, weather, and sports.
These eyes have seen a lot of loves, but they're never gonna see another one. always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin is taking the first step toward enshrining limits on diversity, equity, and inclusion in the state constitution. A proposed constitutional amendment passed the state assembly yesterday. The next step would have to be to pass the Senate this year, but the upper house is only in session for a few more days. Wisconsin is moving closer to regulating artificial intelligence. One bill that passed the assembly yesterday would study how AI could help address the worker shortage in state government. Republican Representative Nate Gustafson.
We want to take AI and then ultimately say, do we really need to find the additional bodies to fill the roles, or can we continue to leverage AI to its fullest capabilities?
Another bill would impose a $1,000 fine on the makers of political advertisements who use deepfakes without disclaimers. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
News from the Center, WRCE. I'm Jimmy Cuska. A woman was seriously hurt after falling out of a UTV Wednesday night in Richland County. The sheriff's office said a 35-year-old Wisconsin Dells woman was found on County Highway V near Cazenovia and flown to UW Hospital in Madison with life-threatening injuries. The driver of the UTV, a 25-year-old Cazenovia man, was arrested for operating while intoxicated, causing injury. The DNR is helping the sheriff's office with the investigation. A compliance check done in January by the Reedsburg Police Department and Sauk County health officials found that 63% of city businesses follow the law in not selling alcohol to underage customers. However, the number of retailers selling to people under 21 nearly doubled in just 6 months. Violating the law comes with a $500 fine for first offenders, with escalating penalties that include jail time or the loss of liquor licenses for retailers that frequently sell to children. It'll feel more seasonable the next couple of days with highs in the upper 20s and lower 30s, but a warm-up is on the way. Highs could reach the 50-degree mark by Tuesday.
Hi, my name is Maggie Dawn. You may have already heard that my 6 p.m. show is moving to 2 to 4 p.m. on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Tom Allbaugh, still taking care of middays from noon till 2.
Todd, what are you doing?
I'm Dom, and Crudy and I are still kicking it from 4 to 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Network.
Dom, this is supposed to be about my show. I don't see why any of you guys...
We just want to be sure folks know precisely where to find you.
Right before the greatest radio show ever.
Until now,
Crut.
Maggie Dawn, coming to your local station on the Civic Media Network.
2 to 4 p.m.
Right after me.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Compete with the 60-second showbiz beat. Bob Odenkirk says he is ready to, quote, get his ass handed to him again. The Hollywood Reporter says the Better Call Saul star will play an action star in the upcoming film Normal, where Odenkirk plays Ulysses, a small-town sheriff in a Rust Belt town in the Midwest called Normal. Odenkirk's first action role was in 2021 when he played a mundane family man with a special ops assassin background in the film Nobody. Normal is currently in pre-production. There's an old saying that goes, Jon Stewart can't make all Daily Show viewers happy all the time. Something like that. Despite high ratings for the host's return to The Daily Show Monday night, some viewers were not thrilled he poked fun at President Biden's age and memory. Let's relax, people. You can still like a president and be concerned about his age at the same time. After all, short-term memory loss can happen to anyone, even the other guy who is former president. What's his name? For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A mix of clouds and sunshine today, and it will be a little cooler than yesterday. Our high right around 29 this afternoon, with wind out of the northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear. We'll drop down to 12 for an overnight low. Tomorrow, sunshine 28. On Sunday, sunny and warmer with a high near 39. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 23.
Hi, my name is Maggie Dawn. You may have already heard that my 6 p.m. show is moving to 2 to 4 p.m. on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Tom Allbaugh, still taking care of middays from noon till 2.
Todd, what are you doing?
I'm Dom, and Crudy and I are still kicking it from 4 to 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Network.
Dom, this is supposed to be about my show. I don't see why any of you guys...
We just want to be sure folks know precisely where to find you.
Right before the greatest radio show ever.
Until now,
Crut.
Maggie Dawn, coming to your local station on the Civic Media Network.
2 to 4 p.m.
Right after me.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
Sandy, you know Chef, John Chef.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. And Sandy, Russia is talking about putting nuclear weapons in outer space. Look, man, I'm a guy. I guess I can be considered a quirky guy.
Oh, don't sell yourself short.
Hey, you don't know what I do when I'm at home. So I watch a lot of 1950-ish sci-fi movies.
Will
Smith?
Yeah.
No, that was a television show, but I watch some of these old aliens coming from outer space, one eye and... what do you call those? He's just poorly made.
Yeah, B movies. Buster Crabbe blend.
and the characters and the cheap looking monsters
and the sets that almost fall apart.
Yeah, they're really really terrible. But I don't know. Yeah, I watch like some of those things, right? And those are the movies that last about an hour and 10 minutes.
Flash Gordon.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm watching some of those things. So when I hear that the Russians are going to put nuclear weapons in space.
Well, here's what I think we're hearing is that the Russians have a capability, potentially, of putting nuclear weapons into space to conduct, essentially, warfare against space objects, satellites, okay? So the danger, my understanding is, the danger is that the Russians have the capability of destroying all or many of our satellites, which obviously have become a very important part of the United States infrastructure in terms of GPS and all communication and all kinds of things. And so, you know, you and I grew up at a time when the Russians had superiority in, 1957 Sputnik.
Yes.
And, they clearly had intercontinental ballistic capacity we didn't have. They had rockets better than ours. And it was one of the reasons that JFK got elected, because he ran on the notion that he was going to make America catch up to Russia in the science area. And I remember I took an advanced science course in high school because I was going to be one of the people who was going to help us catch up. I think the leadership in Washington is trying to tone down the hysteria. I'm not quite sure why the need was felt by the committee chairman to reveal this to the American public in quite the secret way that it was done, because obviously it allows everyone's imagination to run wild. Oh my God, what does this mean? And they had to, they had to come down. It was sort of like after Orson Welles' radio show, War of the Worlds, where they had to come on and say, hey, that was not real. Don't worry, it's not happening. So now we have people coming on and saying, look, this is a potential. We do have to worry about it, but it's not tomorrow, and it's not something that's going to be aimed at human bodies or, calm down.
So, Sandy, you think all of these things to me, because, again, not to worry, Sandy. I mean, I didn't say I was worried.
Yeah.
Because, after all, we have Space Force.
You do watch those movies.
And you forget Donald Trump created Space Force for us.
Yeah, well, to some extent, this proves that having something like a Space Force is sort of prescient. I mean, everyone's known that there was going to be the potential for some kind of space, or at least extra atmospheric kind of warfare, because of the fact that satellites are such an important infrastructure that then an attack on satellites would become an important part of a really massive war, right? And so I don't think this is a surprise to anybody who's had their brain turned on and been thinking about this process. And presumably the United States has been busily at work. I mean, my concern about this only is that the fact that people are acting so worried about it suggests that maybe the United States doesn't yet have the same capability that Russia has. And, you know, shame on us in that regard.
Well, how much more money, Sandy, is it going to be required of...
to make sure we can have this capability? Well, that's the horror, you know. The fact is that this race to be maximally powerful is a race that could be called off, right? I mean,
right.
And we were in the direction of moving in the direction of calling it off in 1995, you know, but somehow we've reignited the flame. And, you know, if the United States is in a military race with both Russia and China, that's going to be a ginormously expensive race. And both countries have a substantial amount of capability to be involved in that race and to be very capable of forcing us to expend a great deal of money. You know, everyone looks at the collapse of the Soviet Union and talks about how it was that maybe Ronald Reagan's genius of his bogus Star Wars concept, because it ends up that Star Wars was kind of a figment of an imagination, which was spread around the world through intelligence agencies as a reality, and that Russia's attempt to actually combat that, to spend the money necessary, was part of the collapse of the Soviet Union. And the fact is, countries can't spend themselves militarily to death.
So, Sandy, here's what I don't understand, and then we'll go to the phone lines. Here's what I don't understand. There's a space station that's out there somewhere.
Which is, incidentally, is basically run by the Russians, trips to and from it up until very recently were all done on Russian spacecraft.
So, yeah, but in partnership with the United States and China.
Yeah.
So here are the three nations all together in this space station. And yet here we are talking one independently
we say one independently. I'm telling you, the United States, I'm sure, is
aware.
Focused. Well, not only aware of it, has their own development of it, because this is all happening because of a race, right? And it takes more than one to race. You know, if it's a one-man race, he's already won.
You know, Sandy, I do know, and I was watching something, and people on our new warships, our latest iteration of our warships, we have lasers. And I couldn't believe it. I saw a laser on our warships.
Mm-hmm.
We've got lasers in space.
Well, yeah.
So
you're just going back to your movies.
Yeah.
It's that kind of cosmic warfare, right? With the cosmic ray gun.
Yeah. But we have them. We have the capacity to do so many things that the American people know nothing about. Let's go to the phone lines and John from Boaz. Hey, good morning to you, John. You say what? Is War of the Worlds your favorite movie, too? It's my favorite, still.
I used to like Get Smart.
Well, it wasn't much. Go ahead.
I wanted to say something on the airwaves here today. That, number one, the fact is we're in the 21st century, and the United States is spending, and don't quote me on this, but $800 billion for defense. Number two, the fact is that Russia spends half of their revenue on military games. And number three, they're still thinking like Stalin. Number four, as my comment is, I'd like to say, please read John Bolton's book, because my fear is Trump, if he ever gets in there, he'll be looking at that red button, and I couldn't guess what he would do when he gets angry.
Hey, John, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, are you going to read John Bolton's book?
I might, actually.
Yeah.
I'm open-minded and try to fill my brain with whatever. But first of all, the United States spends closer to $900 billion number one. Number two, Russia doesn't spend half of its revenue. The current report, in fact, yesterday in both the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal was analyzing the fact that Russia has substantially increased its military capability and is producing weaponry faster than we are, but they spend a much smaller percentage of their GDP. I think they're up to 7% now, but the 7% of their GDP is a much smaller number than our number. I think the problem is that we spent a great deal of money, and maybe we don't do it as effectively as others because other countries who are spending far less seem to be described by us as very formidable militarily.
Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, guys. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, not the corporations. So please, people, wake up and realize that. Second, I definitely have changed my mind. I think Vladimir Putin is just as dangerous, if not more dangerous, than Hitler ever was. I know Sandy may disagree with that, but I think that because Donald Trump is Vladimir Putin's banker, because he's declared bankruptcy so many times in this country and nobody would give him money.
Putin is Donald Trump's banker, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, Putin is Donald Trump's banker. And basically, Donald Trump is going to do that. The reason why he says, this won't happen when I'm in office is because he's working with Vladimir Putin, just like Russian Ron and all those guys that went over on the 4th of July to Russia. It just feels like we got a lot of people working in favor of Russia. And I do, in terms of the Budapest Accord, I do understand now that that's the reason why we did come to the aid of Ukraine. And I just, I really think that we need to really think about this in terms of if someone like Donald Trump gets back into office, which he knows a heck of a lot more than he did the first time around, Vladimir Putin will have everything he wants. And we just really need to think about that because we will become a Russia if we're not careful. And that's why, the number one thing we got to do is get out and vote. Number one thing we have to do is get out and vote Democratic all the way down, up and down the ballot. Okay. Give the Democrats a chance. Let's see what they do with full control of everything.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call, as always. Sandy, you want to respond to any of that?
Well, I think Putin isn't a good guy. I don't think the aspirations of Putin and Russia are anything like the aspirations of Germany. Germany's idea was to unify all of Europe under German rule. I don't think Russia has anything like that in mind. And I think that the aspirations they currently expressed in Ukraine are at least constrained. I think that the invasion was a violation of and a very damning violation of international law. And I think the United States probably has played a role in creating environments that have created some of these problems. And I do agree with Tom on this, though, that the United States has the potential to turn into Russia. Where we ought to be focusing our main attentions is on making sure that American society is thriving and that the body politic and the population of America are thriving so that we continue to move in the direction of being the model government and not something else.
844-967-2789. It's Friday. It means Friday's with my co-host Sandy Williams.
Man, but no one understands him but his woman. Bye.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Hi, my name is Maggie Dawn. You may have already heard that my 6 p.m. show is moving to 2 to 4 p.m. on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Todd Allball, still taking care of middays from noon till 2.
Todd, what are you doing?
I'm Dom, and Crudy and I are still kicking it from 4 to 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Network.
Dom, this is supposed to be about my show. I don't see why any of you guys...
We just want to be sure folks know precisely where to find you.
Right before the greatest radio show ever.
Until now, Crute.
Maggie Dawn, coming to your local station on the Civic Media Network.
2 to 4 p.m.
Right after me.
Oh, for crying out loud.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
You look at Taylor Swift. She fought off the bitterness of defeat when she lost her records, when she was kind of duped by a manager. People who told her she'd never amount to anything. But it doesn't matter if you like her music or not. I'm a fan of anyone. Doesn't matter whether they're an artist or an athlete or just a common Jane or Joe. If you've overcome something in your life, you're a winner. If you've made it through, that's what it's all about.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. News from the Center, WRCE.
As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Let's go right back to the phone lines and Susan from Kenosha. Good morning, Susan. How are you?
Hi, good morning. I'm fine, and I'm glad that both of you are online. Again, talking, I agree totally with you both, always. Sometimes... I'll have a little disagreement. Is John Bolton, is this the second book that he wrote, or is this the first book that you're talking about? As far as, is this a new book that John Bolton wrote?
Well, I don't know. The reference was from a caller to read John Bolton's book, and I was going to go out and he has written a new book. I think there are two books out. I haven't read either one of them at this point.
A book. And he didn't actually come out and say that Trump didn't know what he was doing, but he alluded to that. And that he also alluded to the fact that Trump is out for himself and not for the American people. And that's what he had objection to, and that's why he left. And I think that's why most Republicans... I'm not really a Republican or a Democrat. I'm an American, okay? And I want America to continue on being a democracy. I don't want to see authoritarian government completely take over. But right now in the state of Wisconsin and in other places, and you can see this as Republicans are voting, they're not voting for what the people want. They're voting for what their party wants. And that is wrong. And once we start doing that, then we are going to slide right into authoritarian government, and we're not, most people aren't going to know the difference, and that's going to be sad. And I think the reason why I read these books, the reason why I call them to shows like this, and the reason why I make comments is because I would like to see my granddaughter live in a democracy and not authoritarian government.
Hey,
and that's
Susan.
All I have to say.
Well, and you always, you know, you say it so well. I think, you know, one of the reasons Sandy's got a lot of grandchildren, and one of the things that we talk about a lot is the future.
Yeah, I mean,
and that's what we need to be looking out.
Yeah,
for.
I mean, to me, if politics could only talk about. Not children, but grandchildren. So it's far enough down the line so we're thinking about the real future.
Right.
I think we should just couch all of our discussions in what would this mean for my grandchildren. It would change the whole colloquy. It would change the priorities of what we talk about and how we talk about it.
Yeah. There's no question. They can't speak for themselves, and And so we have a responsibility as Americans and as human beings to whatever it is that we've messed up, to fix it before they become adults. It just to think that our children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren are going to have to carry a burden that we created, Sandy, is unconscionable.
Yeah, I mean, the burden will be the problems we've created, the problems we haven't solved, quite frankly. I would not say that so much that we create problems as we fail to solve problems, and we fail to prioritize our thinking in the same nature that we would if we were really thinking about our grandchildren. So we wouldn't be passing things that would be immediately edifying to us, tax reductions that make us richer tomorrow, but maybe don't improve the situation for our grandchildren.
Or drill, baby, drill. Right.
Or whatever. I mean, the fact is that if you have a long planning horizon, it changes the decisions you make. And everyone understands that when the planning horizons of American corporations got as very short, okay, when they came down to quarters and half year type planning horizons, it almost destroyed the fabric of American corporations and their capacity to thrive. And that long planning horizons are an important thing. And many other countries culturally have very long planning horizons, which have helped them sort through their problems in a much better way.
You know, Sandy, and unfortunately, children don't vote. Children, lobbyists don't lobby for children issues. And so it's a double whammy. The business community is not looking out for those young people, and then the political community is not looking out for them. So who does it leave? It leaves us, the citizens, to forge a way.
Well, and you would think that the grandparents actually are in the very best position to be the most unselfish. I mean, obviously, parents are very unselfish about their children. But grandparents have a short planning horizon. Most of them are secure in their positions, and they can see a secure future from now till the end. And you would think what they would be wanting to plan for would be the vision for their grandchildren.
Well, individually, yes, they can, Sandy, but we're talking about a world that is not really preparing to make sure things are better for these younger people. I can only go by, the sacrifices that were made for my generation.
Right.
And there were major sacrifices made by what they call the greatest community. We're not doing that.
Well, I think, and I would blame the boomers. We were the ones who were sacrificed for by those who had lived through the Depression. And we are the ones who began to thrive on our snowmobiles and second homes and second automobiles.
Right.
And all of those things. And we allowed our children to go into debt to go to college. That we were the first generation to basically have their children experience student debt directly themselves. And so, we've done a poor job, quite frankly. And I think it's time that all of us pull ourselves up, sit up straight, and try to make up for some of the deficiencies of what the baby boomers have done.
So, Sandy, most people probably don't know. You and I know our way around the kitchens a little bit, right? I've tasted your cuisine, and so we know our way around the kitchen a little bit. There was a time when, men weren't in the kitchen. When we come, return, put your husband in the kitchen. Wonder how many husbands out here have been in the kitchen.
Yeah. Well, we can talk about it.
844-967.
And let me just say, it's better to cook than it is to wash.
Yeah. Well, I do both.
Yeah.
News, weather, and sports.
Ithaca's choice for news, talk, and sports. News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM. The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
Hi. Hi, my name is Maggie Dawn. You may have already heard that my 6 p.m. show is moving to 2 to 4 p.m. on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Todd Lobel, still taking care of middays from noon till 2.
Todd, what are you doing?
I'm Dom, and Crudy and I are still kicking it from 4 to 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Network.
Dom, this is supposed to be about my show. I don't see why any of you guys...
We just want to be sure folks know precisely where to find you.
Right before the greatest radio show ever.
Until now, Crute.
Maggie Dawn, coming to your local station on the Civic Media Network.
2 to 4 p.m.
Right after me.
Oh, for crying out loud.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Reaction continues coming in to the death of Russian opposition figure Alexei Navalny.